Grace and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On this Trinity Sunday, our special meditation for this morning is recorded in John chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. You'll recognize several verses in here, I'm sure. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." In Jesus' name, beloved of God, if we take another look at the Bible text we just heard, and if you would underline every reference in there to believing or to faith, you would probably have about 10 lines marked. Because faith is a central feature of this reading. It's what Jesus is talking about here. He says things like, "You do not believe. How will you believe? Everyone who believes, whoever believes." And then he speaks to Nicodemus of being born again and being born of the Spirit, which are both references to coming to faith. Many references in here to faith. But what is this faith? It is not just an acknowledgement that God exists, but it is putting confidence in God's words and in his works. And it is made evident by living like you trust what God says. We could say that to believe is to renounce our sins, to reject them, and to put our confidence in Jesus to forgive them. Faith shows itself in a person by that person having a desire to turn away from sin, try to lead a godly life, and drowning the old Adam, the sinful nature that is within us. This type of faith, as Jesus says here, leads to eternal life in heaven. But because we are not born with it, God must give it to us. Our faith is his work in us. And because our God is revealed to us as triune in the Bible, one God, and at the same time three distinct persons who all possess the fullness of the one God, we can rightly expect that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all have something to do with our faith. And that's what we are taking a closer look at this morning as we consider your faith and the triune God. How do Father, Son, and Holy Spirit work in you? How are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, how do they have a part in your faith? In your faith in the Savior. Now, when Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, the first thing he said was, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God." Nicodemus was exactly right that Jesus had been sent from God. Jesus himself had made this statement many times, such as in John 14 when he said, "These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." So it was the Father who sent Jesus to preach and to teach and ultimately to fulfill the law and suffer the Father's judgment on behalf of all people. In a world where there are so many different religious groups and philosophers are saying, "We have the truth. Believe this, believe that." Some even offer their own revelations from heaven that they claim are to be believed. But God the Father shows us whom to believe. He shows us who ought to be the object of our faith. It is the one he sent. Remember how on the mountain of transfiguration the voice from heaven spoke, and there the Father said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." The Father points out the Son and says, "Believe him. This is the one that I want you to put your faith in." The Father shows us whom to believe. That's how he works in our faith. Whose guidance can you always trust to be correct, no matter what the situation? Whose advice and counsel can you rely on, even when you might wonder if it can possibly be right? Whom can you put your confidence in when your sinful nature is telling you the opposite? It is Jesus. When you have done wrong and your sins are pressing in on you, weighing down your conscience, do you trust yourself to try to work through them? Do you trust yourself to take care of your sins by thinking you can just do something about them later? Or that they are not all that bad? Or some other reason you can come up with? The Father shows you something different. The Father shows you that Jesus is the one sent from heaven, and that he is the one you can count on. We are tempted daily to trust our own wisdom and our own understanding and to seek our own solutions to problems. Or to think that in certain cases our ideas about what to do and how to do them are better than the Lord's. But we cannot be trusted. Not like Jesus can. The Father says, "Look to the one I sent and rely on him above anyone or anything else. Believe him." When it comes to your faith and the triune God, the Father shows us whom to believe. He points to Jesus. We trust Jesus because the Father sent him, and also because Jesus has given us something to believe. So we move on to the second person of the Trinity and how he impacts our faith. Jesus has given us something to believe. In fact, the Son has given us the greatest thing to believe. his death and resurrection from the dead for the forgiveness of our sins, which wins for us life forever. Jesus reminded Nicodemus of this by bringing to his attention a familiar Old Testament Bible lesson, one which a Pharisee and a member of the Jewish ruling council like Nicodemus would have known very well. It goes back to the days when the people of Israel were wandering in the wilderness on the way from Egypt up to the land of Canaan, the land that had been promised to them, and the people, as usual, were grumbling against God. And so to teach them that their grumbling was sinful, God sent poisonous snakes into their camp. And the people became afraid and they pleaded with Moses, "Take away the snakes, do something." And so Moses made a snake out of bronze and he put it up on a pole, and whoever looked up at the snake became well, and the venomous bite did no harm to them. Those who thought it was a silly idea and did not believe, they did not find the snake and look up to it, and they died. And now with Nicodemus, Jesus makes a comparison between this story and himself. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." The world has been poisoned by its sin. People are evil and they do evil things against God's commands every day. And this sin will kill them. Eventually, they will have to face judgment for it. The punishment is everlasting life apart from God, a life of misery and sorrow and torment, a life without any good thing. But Jesus was lifted up on the cross to die for the world's sin, to take on himself all the punishment that the people of the world deserved. He then rose from the dead, and the world was declared not guilty, justified, sin not counted against them. And so the Son of God gives us something to believe. This justification, this not guilty verdict, because of what the Son has done in giving his life into death and into punishment instead of us. The Son gives us something to believe. Like the people of Israel looked up to the snake on the pole, trusting that they would be healed of their snake bites, so people who look up to the Son, to Jesus Christ there on the cross, confident that his death has justified them, they are healed too. They will not suffer the judgment that they would have. Instead, they will be raised to life and spend eternity in the new earth, living with God. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, whoever looks up to him, shall not perish, but have eternal life." The Son gives us something to believe. We believe that by his death and his resurrection, the whole world is declared innocent, and that includes us. And we hold on to this, we count on it, and we have life. We said at the beginning that our faith is something that God must create, that we do not have it naturally within us to believe like this. But the triune God is at work. The Father shows us whom to believe. The Son gives us something to believe, and the special task of the Holy Spirit then is to bring us to believe. to bring us to faith, to create that faith in us that we do not have by nature. And Jesus taught this to Nicodemus too, that night. He used the phrase, born again. And Nicodemus did not understand this at first. He said, how can a man be born again when he is old? He wondered. You can't go back and experience your birth a second time. But Jesus wasn't talking about that kind of birth. Not a natural birth. Birth, as Jesus said, by water and the Spirit. The sort of new birth that comes through baptism, where the Holy Spirit brings someone to faith in Jesus. You must be born again, born of the Spirit, Christ said. He was talking about a spiritual rebirth, a conversion from unbelief to faith. This really is being born again, isn't it? For we were dead in our transgressions and sins, without faith from the moment we were conceived. At some point, though, either through our baptisms or through hearing how Christ covered our sins and gave us eternal life, the Holy Spirit brought us to faith. A new birth means a new heart, new thoughts, new desires, a new way of looking at things. Where once we rejoiced in sin, now that we trust we are forgiven, we are given a new will and a new desire to work against evil in our lives. We call this our new man. The Spirit works in us faith and the desire to lead a godly life. Flesh gives birth to flesh, Jesus said, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. The Holy Spirit creates a new spirit within us, a new will, a new desire. And so it is being born again. It's a new life. And so your faith and the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are inseparably connected. Without the effort and the doing of Father, Son, and Spirit, the one true God of heaven and earth, you would not and could not be a Christian. You would not and could not have the faith that leads to salvation. And so on this Trinity Sunday, we praise our God, who is three in one and one in three. We praise our God who saw fit to call us out of the darkness of our sins and bring us into his marvelous light. Amen.